Well, 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 what do we have here? It is officially game week as the college football season is upon us. It's college football eve, as there will be plenty of games on the schedule tomorrow night. I do not count week zero. Congratulations to Rice for holding off Prairie View A&M at the gun last week. Big clap to you. I know Hawaii got after Colorado State and a couple of other games. I think Wyoming held off New Mexico State. That was the ultimate tease of teases. Tomorrow night, it really gets going, and then more games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It is a five-day weekend of college football, and I welcome you back into the Four Verticals podcast. It is episode 6, and I am your host, Harrison Graham. As we get this thing rolling, I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. I am amped up. I'm ready to get the 2018 season underway. Jam-packed show today as I finish my Big 12 previews. Oklahoma, TCU, Oklahoma State, top three teams from a year ago in the Big 12. Not necessarily how I see them finishing this year. I'll preview them, and then I will rank my Big 12 squads from 10 to 1. Also, I got to do it, right? We're in a prediction business. I give my four teams in the college football playoff as I go around the Power 5 conferences. Which Power 5 conference gets left out? Is it the Big 12? I discuss later in the show as I give you my college football playoff teams. And then as we're going to do it from here on out, as we end the podcast every single week from here on out, we pick them. Pick 10 to 15 games each week. We'll do rapid fire on the Big 12 games. Then we'll go nationally, pick a handful of those as well. Lots of good ones to choose from this week. So we will do that to wrap things up on this show. But we got to get these previews out of the way before we get to predictions and fun toward the end. So let's do it. Let's get this thing rolling on episode 6 of the Four Verticals podcast. All right, let's start today's previews with the Oklahoma State Cowboys up there in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Head coach Mike Gundy going into his 14th season as the head coach of the Pokes. 10-3 last season, good for third in the Big 12. Ended up with a 30-21 win over Virginia Tech in the Camping World Bowl. Coming into this year, 12 returning starters, 5 on offense, 7 on defense. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball. Quarterback, big shoes to fill, Mason Rudolph graduates as the leading passer in school history with 13,618 yards, 92 touchdowns, both topping the school marks for the best and Oklahoma State history. Former walk-on and senior quarterback Taylor Cornelius is named the starter, 6'6", 230. He's got a big frame, is stuck around in Stillwater when he could have gone elsewhere. Pretty good story on newsok.com about Cornelius. I highly recommend it. He beat out freshman Spencer Sanders, a big-time player coming out of Texas, big Texas high school football player. Hawaii transfer Drew Brown comes in as well. Both those guys have competed. They'll provide some depth if something should happen to Cornelius. At running back, may have the best one in the league in Justice Hill. Consistency is the name of the game with him. 2016, his freshman year, 1,142 yards, 5.5 yards per carry, and 6 touchdowns. Last year, more of the same, 1,467 yards. Again, 5.5 yards per carry, 15 touchdowns. Also caught a few more passes as a sophomore. Coming into this junior year, I would expect even more production, especially with that passing attack maybe not being quite as prolific as it's been with Mason Rudolph. You look at receiver, you lose your two top guys at Oklahoma State. James Washington, leading receiver in terms of yardage in school history, 4,472 yards. Third in touchdowns all time, 39 touchdowns. For the now Pittsburgh Steeler. Marcel Aitman gone too, 1,156 yards and 8 touchdowns a year ago. Look for Jalen McCleskey to take that next step as he's kind of been the third wheel the past couple of years. He's had over 1,400 yards total over the last two seasons and 12 touchdowns. Look for him to push for a 1,000-yard season in his senior campaign. Dylan Stoner will have a bigger role this year. Came onto the scene as a freshman last year, 44 catches, 576 yards. Look for him to kind of be that underneath slot guy for Oklahoma State. He also got Tyron Johnson, the LSU transfer, in the mix. So he still got weapons for Cornelius and whoever else may get some snaps at quarterback this season. Offensive line, you lose three starters, including two first-team All-Big 12 guys, and right tackle Zach Crabtree and center Brad Lundblad. Left tackle Aaron Cochran, he also departs. The Pokes do get back senior right guard Larry Williams after missing most of last season due to injury. Left guard Marcus Keys is back as well. Second team all Big 12 a year ago. Just got to figure things out at the tackle spots and at center. Player to watch in this offense, for me, it's Justice Hill. Does he take on an even bigger role moving into his junior season? No Mason Rudolph, no James Washington, no Marcel Aitman. I think naturally look for Oklahoma State to run the ball a little bit more. You've got one of the best backs in the nation. Why not utilize him? Can he carry the load for what's been a dynamic offense for several years with Mike Gundy? I think Justice Hill is the guy to feature in this offense. Defensively, that's what held Oklahoma State back last year. Really a team that had high aspirations. 10-3, probably not good enough for what they had coming into the year. 85th in scoring defense at over 29 points per game allowed. 79th in total defense, gave up almost 410 yards per game. You look at Bedlam last year, I mean, they score 52 points and lose by 10. Not quite good enough if you're Oklahoma State. Defensive line, you lose first-teamer DeQuinton Osborne, but still have Darian Daniels and Trey Carter in the middle. Really like Daniels. He's a good run stopper. Depth at defensive end, seniors Cole Walter Shield, Gerald Owens, Jordan Brailfield have all started games. I think this position group should be better this year. You've got some experience. I like what they have on that front four in the new 4-2-5 scheme under defensive coordinator Jim Knowles. Speaking of those linebackers in the 4-2-5, Justin Phillips back after having over 100 tackles over the last couple of seasons. Calvin Bundage expected to be the other linebacker in the scheme. He replaces Chad Whitener, who was second-team All-Big 12 a year ago. Hard-hitting Tabo Mwanki expected to play nickel in the new scheme. He kind of is just going to be the floater in this defense. He'll be all over the place and hit people hard, like I mentioned. I really like what he brings to this defense. Secondary, I like the corners. A.J. Green is back after 4 picks and 5 pass breakups a year ago. Really thought he broke out a year ago. Rodarius Williams, another solid player. 10 pass breakups, 44 tackles in his campaign last year. Safety's more of a question mark after losing your top 2 safeties in Flowers and Richards. Kenneth Edison Magruder is back. He's going to slide from linebacker to play strong safety. Sophomore Malcolm Rodriguez expected to start at free safety. I think there's depth concerns here. Neither of those guys are super experienced on the back end. I think this is definitely the weak link in this defense headed into this year. Regardless, if Oklahoma State is going to compete in the Big 12, the defense must be better. You look at that schedule, pretty reasonable non-conference. You open up with Missouri State tomorrow night on Thursday, South Alabama the next week, and Boise State. That's the big one on the schedule. Obviously, that's Saturday, September 15th. You get them at home, so you hope that bodes well in your favor as Boise State's got a veteran team and a veteran quarterback in Brett Rypien. You get Texas Tech at home to open up Big 12 play before you go to Kansas. Then Iowa State comes to Boone Pickens, and then you go to Bill Snyder Family Stadium up in Manhattan to take on Kansas State. That's your first 7 games before the bye week. Then they come home to face Texas before traveling to Waco and Norman to face Baylor and Oklahoma. Then you wrap things up with West Virginia at home and at TCU. Before the bye week, much more manageable than after the bye week. That is my takeaway. If you could beat Boise and then you open up with Tech at home and at Kansas, and then Iowa State at home and at Kansas State, those 7 games are all winnable for an Oklahoma State team that might naturally take a step back in terms of talent, but the schedule really works in your favor. 5-2, 6-1 is not out of the realm of possibility before the final 5 games, which is tougher. Again, Texas at Baylor, at Oklahoma, West Virginia at TCU. You want to get those wins in the first 7 games because the final 5, there's definitely some games that are going to be difficult, especially going to Oklahoma and TCU. So I think Oklahoma State naturally takes a step back this year. I like the parity in this league. I think the schedule is manageable. I have questions about Cornelius and the quarterback position in general. Still not sold on the defense, although I do think it will be a little bit better. I don't know if it'll be enough considering the offense naturally should not be as prolific. That's my outlook on Oklahoma State. Think they take a step back. Don't think they'll be contending for the Big 12 this season. Up next, we've got the TCU Horned Frogs head coach Gary Patterson entering his 18th season as the head coach out there in Fort Worth. Second longest tenure in all of college football under just Kirk Ferentz out there at Iowa. 160-57 record in his 17 seasons up to this point. Since he's entered the Big 12 in his five seasons, 36-25, three of those seasons resulting in 11-win seasons and three top 10 finishes, coming off an 11-3 year last year, finishing with an Alamo Bowl win over the Stanford Cardinal. Heading into 2018, 11 returning starters, 6 on offense, 5 on defense, starting with the offensive side of the ball. In 2017, 29th in scoring offense at 33.6 points per game, 45th in total offense, 419 yards per game. So pretty solid, but not explosive. Not the Trevon Boykin, Josh Dotson type of offenses, but a pretty good year on that side of the ball. Kenny Hill's gone. He does return as a student coach after bouncing around NFL and CFL camps. So he's back finishing his degree and working with the other quarterbacks. Sophomore Sean Robinson was named the starter a couple of weeks ago. Made one start last year, a 27-3 win in Lubbock against Texas Tech. Just 6 for 17 in that game for 85 yards, but he also ran for 84 yards. I thought he was pretty poised in that start. Obviously in high school, won state at DeSoto in 2016, Texas Gatorade Player of the Year, 4-star recruit, dynamic athlete. He's got a cannon for an arm, big-time potential. His ceiling is much higher than Kenny Hill's. Than Kenny Hill's ceiling was. Really physical and big body, and he's much faster than Hill as well. He's got more speed than a Boykin type player, but he's bigger too. So his upside is very massive. I think you'll see Sonny Cumbie incorporate that more this year with the run game. Speaking of the run game, Darius Anderson, Shewo Olanolua, the 1-2 headed monster at running back. Anderson was having a big year last year before he missed the last few games due to injury. Olanolua, kind of that short yardage guy, runs the Wild Frog offense some, can catch out of the backfield. Pretty solid player there as well. Kennedy Snell, we saw him early last year as he transitions into his sophomore season. He's an explosive type player, kind of like Kevontae Turpin, a smaller guy, 5'8", 5'9", 160-ish pounds. I think we'll see him use more. He'll line up in the slot as well. So you got those three guys in the backfield. At receiver, I just mentioned him, Kevontae Turpin, back for his senior year. Just a really a do-it-all player, scat-type player, but he can also get down the field as well. Can't tackle this guy in space. He's electric in the return game. He'll have a big part in this offense. Jalen Reagor, I think he's poised to be the number one receiver for this team. Really came onto the scene the second half of last year of his freshman campaign. Had a 93-yard touchdown against Stanford in the Alamo Bowl. I think he's going to be a big-time player. Could win a Biletnikoff before his time at Fort Worth is done. Jalen Austin, the senior, solid veteran, makes big catches in key situations. I think he might break out finally as a senior as a more consistent week-to-week player. Got some veterans too, guys like Jarrison Stewart, Dylan Thomas in the slot. Keep an eye out on Tay Barber, the freshman. A lot of people are calling him Kevontae Turpin 2.0, 5'9", 170 pounds, somewhere in that range. Really fast player, electric, had a nice spring. We'll see how much he's in the mix when it comes to 2018, but certainly in the future he will be a big part of this offense. Offensive line, probably the biggest question mark along with quarterback. Got to replace 4 starters. Austin Schlottman, Matt Pryor, Patrick Morris, Joseph Noteboom all depart. All of them are in NFL camps as well. A couple of those teams will be on NFL rosters. The JUCO, Anthony McKinney, JUCO transfer, he'll plug in at left tackle, 6'8", 330. Should feel pretty good about that. Lucas Niang, the lone starter, 8 starts at right tackle last year. Should be good to go there. Big question at center. Looks like it's going to be sophomore Kelton Hollins. According to the depth chart, he's expected to start. You got Chris Gaynor and Trey Elliott, a couple of seniors who can play both guard spots. So I think you're feeling okay there. I think with Sean Robinson's mobility and kind of the elusiveness, I think you can make up in some areas where you lack experience on the offensive line. He's going to be able to create some plays even more so than a Kenny Hill. He's obviously the player to watch on this offense. If he can live up to some of the hype and some of the potential that he's got, this offense probably will even be better than it was a year ago, in which it was already pretty good. His upside is just that big, and I think this is the best skill group that Gary Patterson has ever had. He doesn't have a Josh Dotson, but he's got six or seven solid receivers, a couple of good running backs. Look for this offense to have some explosive plays this year. Defensively last year, what can you say? 15th in scoring defense at 19 points per game, 19th in total defense, 331 yards a game. Can't say enough, especially in the Big 12, to hold teams to under 20 points and under 335 yards. That's spectacular, being top 20 in both categories. That's really impressive. Defensive line, you lose Matt Boson and his 9 sacks on one end, but Ben Bandigo on the other end, 8 sacks a year ago, preseason Big 12 Player of the Year. Could have gone to the NFL last year, probably would have been a day 2 pick. Decides to come back and improve that stock. Expect him to push for double-digit sacks this year. Big loss in the in fall workouts. Defensive tackle Ross Blacklock, he's out for the year with an Achilles injury. Was going to be an All-Big 12 player most likely. Maybe even go pro after this year. So that's a big loss for both the Frogs and for himself, of course. Corey Bethley, Terrell Cooper listed as starters on the interior. George Ellis, Joseph Broadnax, those guys provide some depth and experience, especially in Broadnax's cases. A bit of a surprise coming out with the depth chart. Ty Summers, who's played a lot of linebacker in his career, is listed as the other starting defensive end opposite of Ben Bandigo. They flirted with this idea last year, early in the year, putting him at DE, but before he transitioned back to linebacker. Like, it looks like they're going to do that again. LJ Collier is another veteran who will come off the edge at times as well. And that transitions us into the linebacker position. More surprises here with not only Summers not being there. Montrell Wilson not on the depth chart at all. At middle linebacker, they've got Rico Evans listed as a starter. Played a lot last year. I really like him. He's fast, instinctive. Alec Dunham listed as his backup. Mostly a special teams guy throughout his career, but he's a senior, veteran player. Maybe the biggest surprise of all at the other linebacker spot, Garrett Wallow. Converted safety. He slides in to the Sam linebacker spot. 6'2", 212, just like Rico Evans, 6'2", 206. Gary Patterson's clearly looking at speed here, and with only playing two linebackers, you got to have guys who can cover around, who can cover some tight ends, inside receivers. Both Rico Evans and Garrett Wallow can do that. Northern Illinois transfer Jawan Johnson, Pro Football Focus had him as the highest rated linebacker last year. He's listed as a backup. I think he'll play a lot as well. Don't be surprised if Ty Summers finds his way playing some linebacker some, or even full time at some point this season. I think the idea again here is to find speed at the linebacker position. Secondary, another solid group. Nico Small back for his senior year, third year starting at free safety. In his gains, really became a playmaker down the stretch last year. He plugs in at strong. Weak side safety was question marks, but Ridwan Isahaku, after being in and out in the spring, he had 60-plus tackles last year. He's listed as the weak side safety starter. You got experienced players in Vernon Scott and Markel Simmons. They provide depth at safety, as well as a couple of other young guys. So I think you're feeling pretty good about that spot in the three safety scheme. Corners, Jeff Gladney, to me, he was the best corner on the team by the end of last season, and that's saying a lot because Anthony Tejada was a good player, and it looks like he's going to make the Redskins as he departs. Julius Lewis listed as the other starting corner. He's had multiple injuries throughout his career, but when he's played really well. Noah Daniels listed as a co-starter. Highly recruited corner coming into last year. He redshirted. Probably going to see a lot of him as well. Tony James, another player who provides experience at corner. So I think the secondary, you're feeling pretty good. I think the linebacker spot is kind of the area to watch for, as Patterson's seems to be going with some undersized guys. Player to watch, Ty Summers. Is he going to play linebacker? Is he going to play defensive end? I'm curious to see, with moving him around the last couple of years, to see how that impacts him and how that impacts this defense. Quick look at the schedule. Obviously, the game to watch in the non-conference, Ohio State Week 3. That's after playing Southern and at SMU the first couple of weeks. Can't take the ponies lightly. They always are ready to go when the Frogs are on the schedule. That game's in Dallas this year. Sonny Dykes in his first year at SMU. They'll be competitive. Ohio State, Urban Meyer's not going to coach in that game. He will be available to coach throughout the week leading up to that one. So that it's still going to be a tough task. Ohio State's got a ton of talent. Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. plugging in for JT Barrett. Dobbins, the running back's a great player. They're going to be good defensively with Nick Bosa and several other guys on that side of the ball. So that's a tough one. Then you transition into the conference schedule at Texas and Iowa, at home against Iowa State before the bye week. Then you host Texas Tech and Oklahoma before going to Kansas, coming back home to play Kansas State. And then maybe the big one at West Virginia Saturday, November 10th, before going to Baylor November 17th, and then finishing back at home against Oklahoma State on November 24th before a potential Big 12 title game. Again, you look at this as a whole, if you could somehow get that marquee win over Ohio State, probably going to be in the top 10 in the country at that point if you pull that off. Lots of momentum before going to Austin and coming home to play Iowa State, two solid teams in the Big 12 before that bye week. You get Oklahoma at home. You get Kansas State at home. At West Virginia might be the toughest conference game on the schedule, but later in the year, if you can get through some of that tougher part of the schedule, maybe a more manageable game. I like TCU. If Sean Robinson is the player that we all think he can be, I think this team has potential to be better than it was a year ago. I look at the offensive line. Can they get production from some new guys? That's going to be a big question mark. And can Sean Robinson maximize his skill set with these receivers and running backs? If they can do that, TCU has a good shot of being back in the Big 12 title game. And who knows, maybe they can even be an outside shot team at making the college football playoff. So that's my thoughts on the Horned Frogs entering the 2018 season. All right, finally, last but certainly not least, we've got the Oklahoma Sooners defending Big 12 champions. Lincoln Riley entering his second season in the Big 12. 12-2 record in his first season. What can you say? Explosive offense. 54-48 overtime loss to Georgia in the Rose Bowl semifinal game in the college football playoff. Really a tough loss. That's probably a game they should have won. Just could not quite finish that thing off. Coming into this year, 12 returning starters, 6 offensive and 6 on the defensive side of the ball. Starting with that offense, I alluded to it a second ago. 3rd in scoring offense a year ago, 45 points per game. 1st in total offense at 579.5 yards per game. Absolutely incredible. And it all started with quarterback Baker Mayfield. As he departs, as he's battling to try and start in Cleveland right now for the Browns. Kyler Murray finally named the starter. It seemed like a foregone conclusion throughout spring and summer and on into fall camp. Lincoln Riley finally made that decision in the last few days. Austin Kendall is going to be the backup there. Certainly highly regarded up there in Norman, so they should feel pretty good about that position there. But regardless, going to be a tough task for Kyler Murray following in Baker Mayfield's footsteps. Running back should help him. He's got Rodney Anderson and Trey Sermon, arguably one of the best, if not the best, 1-2 punch at that position in the Big 12. I think Lincoln Riley will incorporate some option stuff with Kyler Murray and those two talented backs. I think this offense will still be explosive. It just might look a little different, maybe a little more run-oriented. At receiver, a couple of studs. Marquise Hollywood Brown, as Gus Johnson gave him that nickname last year, Hollywood. How about this? 57 catches, 1,095 yards last year in his sophomore year. It's over 19 yards a catch, 7 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb, another solid player, over 17 yards a catch. His freshman season, 807 yards and 7 touchdowns. A couple of solid weapons, tight end Mark Andrews and Dimitri Flowers, the fullback. They were a big part of the pass game a year ago. They're going to have to find some of that production elsewhere, but that 1-2 punch of Brown and Lamb, you should feel pretty good about that. Offensive line will be really good again, one of the best in the country. You lose Orlando Brown, but you plug in Cody Ford at left tackle, 6'4", 343, has a few starts under his belt. He'll be fine. Drew Samia, Ben Powers, Bobby Evans, Jonathan Alvarez at the other 4 spots. They all started at least 9 games last year. They'll be good to go. Player to watch on this offense has to be Kyler Murray, right? To ask him to be Baker Mayfield is unrealistic, but if he can give you 80-85% of the production, this offense will still be explosive. I think you'll see a more run attack. I think Kyler Murray can give you 500-700 yards rushing in addition to making some plays with his arms. Both running backs could push for 1,000 yards. I think this offense, for the most part, will be fine. The defense is what you wonder about. Last year, not a great season for Mike Stoops, 68th in scoring defense at over 27 points a game. Allowed at 67th in total defense, almost 400 yards a game. Just not good enough. And you saw it against Georgia. That defense couldn't maintain a huge lead. And that's not against an explosive Georgia attack last year. Solid Georgia offense, but not a team you should give up 50-plus points to. How about this coming into this year? Zero first-team All-Big 12 players in the preseason media poll. Not a great sign for a defense coming off of a pretty poor year. Obo Okoronkwo departs. DJ Ward departs on that defensive line. You got Marquise Overton back at nose tackle after missing some time last year. Freshman Ronnie Perkins had a nice spring. He'll probably start at one of the defensive ends. You got Amani Bledsoe out there as well. Hopefully, addition by subtraction, get a little more pressure up front. Last year, as quarterbacks had all day to throw for the most part a year ago. I do like the linebackers. The duo of Kenneth Murray and Caleb Kelly are back. Lots of tackles from a year ago. They started and play a lot of games. You do lose your leading tackler, Emmanuel Beal. But I think you've got more bodies and you've got a little more depth this year. You hope that you can limit that run attack, that run defense that gave up a lot of yardage on the ground last year. In the secondary, you've got Parno Motley and Trey Norwood at corners, in addition to Jordan Parker, who will bring some depth as well. 17 PBUs between those first two guys. Question marks at safety with freshman Brendan Radley-Hiles, unproven senior Khalil Houghton. Those are your expected starters. Not a lot of depth there. And you need depth in a pass-heavy Big 12 offense. This defense doesn't have to be great. It just needs to be average. It's got to improve a little bit from last year because you just figure the offensive numbers aren't going to be what they were last year under Baker Mayfield. Kyler Murray is going to be good. This offense is going to be good. The defense has to be a little better, though, to take pressure off of a younger offense. You look at the schedule, not that huge non-conference game this year, but a couple of sneaky ones. Florida Atlantic at home week one. Don't sleep on the Fighting Lane Kiffins. I'll tell you what, man, those Owls are going to come ready to play. I still think Oklahoma, based on talent alone, should win that game, but that's not a game you want to sleepwalk through, and you got to wonder if Kyler Murray has an early turnover, how is he going to react? So they got to be ready to go coming up on Saturday. September 8th, the following week, UCLA, and you might think UCLA, well, Chip Kelly's out there calling the shots, so be interested to see what they bring to the table. I don't think they're quite ready based on talent. Obviously, they lost Josh Rosen. That's another game Oklahoma should take care of. Then a big one. Week 3, open up Big 12 play at Iowa State. It's going to be a motivated Oklahoma team, as that's the only game they lost in the regular season last year. At home, I know they're embarrassed by that. They're going to be ready to rock up there in Ames. Tough place to play early in the year. That's not exactly an easy game to go play. Looks like it's an 11 a.m. kick, too. Tough ask. That's going to be a tough ask to open Big 12 play. Then you come back home, finish your non-conference, play Army. Then you get Baylor at home before the Red River rivalry against an improved Texas squad. Then you hit your bye week before you hit your final six games. Tough one out of the bye. At least it's coming out of the bye. It's at TCU. Then you come home to play Kansas State. You know they're going to be scrappy. Then you go to Lubbock and play Texas Tech. Be curious to see. Texas Tech typically beats someone they're not supposed to. You don't want to be that team if you're Oklahoma. Don't overlook Texas Tech before Bedlam against Oklahoma State the next week. Then you finish the year with Kansas and at West Virginia. And this is the juiciness we've all been looking forward to, right? Since the Big 12 implemented a championship game, we've wondered, are two teams going to play in back-to-back weeks? Well, West Virginia and Oklahoma play each other the last 2 weeks this year. Based on paper, a lot of people have them as the top two teams in the conference. It's very possible that the Sooners and Mountaineers could play each other twice in a matter of 8 days as they play on that Friday in the last week of the regular season. That's a tough game. At West Virginia, you have to go to TCU, you go to Texas Tech and Iowa State. All four of those tough places to play. Florida Atlantic and the non-conference schedule to kick things off. That feels like Houston a few years ago. When they overlooked Houston, Houston got them. This game's in Norman, so it's a little different, but I'm telling you, do not overlook Florida Atlantic if you are Oklahoma. I still think this is the team to beat in the Big 12. I think Kyler Murray's going to plug in fine, but you got to get a little help from that defense, and you got to start fast with Florida Atlantic, UCLA, and Iowa State the first three games before you really can hang out for a little bit against Army and Baylor before the schedule picks back up again. Again, my team to beat in the Big 12, but I think this is a wide-open Big 12. And here, just a minute, I will rank the Big 12 from 10 to 1 and tell you who I think will play in the Big 12 title game. But this is my outlook on the Oklahoma Sooners heading into the 2018 season. So there it is. There's my previews on all 10 teams in the Big 12. Obviously, on this edition of the Four Verticals podcast, I've gone through Oklahoma State, TCU, and Oklahoma. You can check the other seven previews out on previous podcasts. You can find that at KESN1033.com or on my SoundCloud page at Harrison Graham. You can find it there. Real quick, as I look at the Big 12 as a whole, I'm ranking them from 10 to 1. I'll just do this real quickly. Kansas, I think that's the only given coming into this year, is that Kansas will indeed be the worst team in the Big 12 yet again. I think they'll be searching for a new head coach after the season. My apologies to David Beatty. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a decent coach. I just don't think he's the right guy for Kansas. They're going to have to try something else. Baylor still got them at the 9 spot. I like what Matt Rule's doing in terms of the culture. I do think they will be significantly improved. I like Charlie Brewer, the quarterback. I like his weapons. Denzel Mims, Jamichael Hasty, got Jalen Hurd, the Tennessee transfer. Chris Platt's back from injury. Just don't know if they're quite yet ready to take a huge step. I do think they'll win anywhere between 3 and 5 games, maybe sniff 6 games if they can take care of business in the non-conference. Don't think they're quite ready to take another step past that. Texas Tech at 8. I think yet again, it's going to be a trying season for Cliff Kingsbury. It's going to be tough to get to 6-6. Ole Miss right off the top. I mentioned it when I previewed Tech. That's a big game, and that'll be one of the games I'll pick in our Pick'em segment when we wrap this thing up. But if he can win that game, get a little bit of momentum, maybe Tech can make a little bit of noise and get to 6-7, maybe even 8 wins. But I've got them in the 8 hole. Oklahoma State at 7. I think the Pokes take a step back. They underachieved last year, and that was with Mason Rudolph, James Washington, Marcel Aitman, a couple of all first-teamers on that offensive line. I like Justice Hill. I have questions about Cornelius, the former walk-on at quarterback. I don't think the defense is very impressive. We'll see how they look in the new 4-2-5 scheme. I just think the rest of the Big 12 is too solid. I think Oklahoma State takes a step back. Expect something like 7-5 from the Pokes this year. Texas in the 6 hole. Got to prove it to me. I know the voters have them in the top 25 again. Again, like Oklahoma State, though, I got questions at quarterback. Sam Ellinger, can he take that next step, not make the catastrophic mistakes in key situations? They struggled to run the ball a year ago. Not sure that's fixed. Is Tim Beck going to call plays? Is Tom Herman going to call plays? The defense, while I think it'll be good, they lost some big-time players. I'm not convinced they're going to be a big-time defense again. You got Maryland, you got USC in the non-conference schedule. Give me Texas in the 6-hole. I think, like Oklahoma State, somewhere between 6 and 8 wins. I think they're middle of the pack in the Big 12. Kansas State at 5. I think I got them a step ahead of Texas because I think that's a game they win and Manhattan. They've owned Texas over the years, especially at home. I think that's why I give them the nod ahead of Texas. I like both quarterback options and Skylar Thompson and Alex Delton. They can run the ball. They're going to be fundamentally sound defensively. Their turnover margin will be good. Give me Kansas State in the 5 spot in the Big 12. Iowa State, I think they're a sneaky good pick again, maybe even a sleeper team to challenge in the Big 12. Kyle Kemp is as steady of a quarterback as you'll find. Montgomery, the running back, very talented player, might be the best in the league. Defensively, only TCU was better a year ago on that side of the ball in the Big 12. Matt Campbell really is building something up in Ames. I like them at 4th in the Big 12. West Virginia at 3rd. West Virginia, to me, is this year's version of Oklahoma State. They've got a lot of hype. A lot of media people are picking them to be a sneaky pick for the college football playoff. I picked Oklahoma State last year to make the playoff. I'm not making that mistake again. I think West Virginia will be very good and very competitive, but like Oklahoma State last year, they've got the talented quarterback. They've got the weapons on offense. Can they hold up over a 12-game schedule? Do they have enough bodies on both sides of the ball to compete for this conference? I'm not sure that they do. They'll be exciting. They'll be fun. I'm not sure they're ready to compete for the Big 12 championship. They'll compete, I should say. I'm not sure they're ready to win it. I've got them at 3rd in the Big 12. TCU at 2nd. Again, you know they're going to be solid defensively, well coached with Gary Patterson. Question marks on the offensive line. I think that will be the ultimate determining factor to see how far they go. I think Sean Robinson has a much higher ceiling than Kenny Hill. Obviously, he's got to prove it. They've got weapons at receiver in Jalen Reagor and Kevontae Turpin. I like their running backs in Darius Anderson and Shewo Olatolua. Ohio State in the non-conference schedule, that's obviously a big one that could really sway the season one way or another if they pick up that win. I've got the Horned Frogs in the number two hole. And then Oklahoma, until someone knocks them off, I've got them as the top team to beat in the Big 12 again. Baker Mayfield's shoes aren't easy to fill, but Kyler Murray ain't a bad option. Superstar quarterback in high school, showed some things last year. I'm not saying he's going to be Baker, but I think you'll see them run the ball more this year with Kyler at quarterback. You got Rodney Anderson at running back, who's a talented back. Trey Sermon's another good back. You still got Marquise Brown and CeeDee Lamb at receiver. The offensive line will be solid, as it always is. I've got questions defensively, but I think for the most part, this offense will take care of things. Oklahoma is the team to beat in the Big 12, and that's how I rank the Big 12 teams from 10 to 1. Coming up next on the Four Verticals podcast, I just told you how the Big 12 is going to play out. Let's take a look at the other Power 5 conferences and make our college football playoff picks. Does the Big 12 get left out? I'll tell you, coming up next here on the Four Verticals podcast. Welcome back to the Four Verticals podcast, episode 6. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Coming up in about 10-15 minutes, we'll pick them as it's officially week one. We'll go through the Big 12 games and some other games nationally and make our picks against the spread as it sits right now. I'll give you who I think will win the game and who I think will win against the spread. So we'll do that coming up in about 15 minutes. But right now, got to go through the Power 5 conferences and make my conference championship picks and then give you my four teams who I think will make the college football playoff. I just ranked the Big 12 10-1. We'll get back into the Big 12 in just a second. Let's start with the ACC. To me, the ACC is the most chalk conference out of the Power 5 this year. It is by far Clemson's conference to lose. I think they're as talented as any team in the country. Kelly Bryant's back at quarterback. The defensive line is as talented as any front four you will see in college football, maybe even in a long time. They're that good. You're not going to be able to run the football on this team. I look at the schedule. They go to Texas A&M early in the season. That's their tough non-conference game. Outside of that, I mean, you go to Florida State later in the year, Clemson does. That's it. I mean, you dodge Miami in the regular season. That's who they'll likely play in the conference championship game. I got Clemson rolling through this league and beating Miami in the ACC championship game. On to the Big Ten. I like the Big Ten East. I think it's the best division in college football. I think it's supplanted the SEC West. You got Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State, all teams in the top 15. Wisconsin in the Big Ten West coming in at number 4 in the preseason polls. This is a tough freaking conference, especially in the East. Give me Penn State to win the East, though. You get Ohio State at home, the Nittany Lions do. They get Michigan State at home. Go to Michigan and then Wisconsin at home. The non-conference isn't very tough. At Pittsburgh, the only Power 5 opponent on the schedule. So I mentioned those four games are going to be tough. Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin, but only the Wolverines on the road. Give me Penn State to win the East. I think Wisconsin rolls through the West at Iowa early in the season on September 22nd. That can be a sneaky tough game, especially at night at Kinnick Stadium. Iowa is usually good for an upset a year. Keep an eye out on that one. At Michigan in the middle of October, that's probably Wisconsin's toughest regular season game outside of going to Penn State late in the season. I still think regardless, Wisconsin wins the West. Still think Penn State wins the conference, though. I just can't trust Alex Hornibrook, Wisconsin's quarterback. Like Jonathan Taylor. Like the offensive line. Love the defense. To me, give me Trace McSorley over Alex Hornibrook in a big-time game. I got Penn State winning the Big Ten. In the Big 12, I mentioned it earlier, I've got Oklahoma over TCU, the same as last year. I think the Horned Frogs could get the Sooners at home earlier in the season. I think they could win that game. It's just going to be a tall task to beat them twice. I think it's still Oklahoma's conference to lose. So give the slight edge to Oklahoma there. I think they win the Big 12 over TCU yet again. In the Pac-12, this is an interesting conference. In the North, you got Washington, Oregon, Stanford. I think Oregon's going to be one of the most improved teams in college football with Justin Herbert at quarterback. I like Washington winning the Pac-12 North. In the South, it's also wide open. Give me Arizona and Khalil Tate to come out of that group with USC with some uncertainty, UCLA with Chip Kelly. We'll see what they do. Herm Edwards at Arizona State. To me, when I'm unsure, give me the team with the best player, Khalil Tate at quarterback. He's as good as anyone. So I think they come out of the South. But ultimately, Washington wins the Pac-12. I'll pick this game in a minute, but week one against Auburn, the entire conference's fate for the Pac-12 could be on the line coming up this Saturday when Washington takes on Auburn. I'll pick that one here in just a little bit. But I got the Huskies coming out of the Pac-12. And then in the SEC, give me Alabama over Georgia. A national championship rematch. Let's have it in the SEC championship. I think the SEC is a little bit down right now. It's very top-heavy. Alabama and Georgia are as good as any two teams in the country. We'll see if it's Tua Tagovailoa or if it's Jalen Hurts. I'm not sure it really matters. You look at Alabama's schedule. Louisville week one's the big non-conference game. Without Lamar Jackson, that game has lost a lot of luster. Mississippi State late in the year at home at LSU the week before Mississippi State. That could make that game tricky. We'll see what Joe Burrow brings to the Tigers out in Baton Rouge. But this schedule is very manageable. Texas A&M at home, Missouri at home. You go to Ole Miss and Arkansas. I don't think they're quite ready to compete. Then obviously late in the year, you get Auburn at home in the Iron Bowl. I like the way the schedule sets up for Alabama. Give me winning winning the West. Georgia wins the East. Get the rematch. Alabama takes care of business, and they win the SEC. I've got them in the college football playoff. I've got Clemson in the college football playoff. Give me Penn State out of the Big Ten. They'll probably lose the game somewhere in there, but the strength of schedule, I still like them getting into the college football playoff. And I don't feel great about this one, but give me Washington out of the Pac-12. I just don't have the stones to pick two teams out of one conference. I think the Big 12 beats each other up. I think they get left out. Oklahoma, I've got them winning the conference, but they're probably going to have a loss or two. They don't have the Ohio State resume building win on the non-conference schedule like they did a year ago. I think the Big 12 is just too much parity. They're going to beat each other up. I think they play themselves out of the playoff. Washington benefits from a week one win over Auburn. They get into the playoff even if they lose a game in the Pac-12. So again, I'll rank it 1-4. I think Clemson runs the table. They're the top seed. Alabama's the 2 seed. I think Penn State's the 3 seed with 1 loss, and give me Washington out of the Pac-12 is the final, is the 4th and final team in the college football playoff. Haven't really thought about who I like in the national title game. I'll do it off the cuff here. Give me Clemson. I think they're the most well-rounded team, and give me Penn State. Give me Penn State with the upset over Alabama in the 2-3 matchup, and give me Clemson winning the national championship. I'll take Kelly Bryant and that Clemson squad. I just think pound for pound, body for body, they're as talented as any team. The schedule sets up well for them. They should be fresh throughout the season. I like Clemson winning the national championship in 2018 over the Penn State Nittany Lions, Alabama and Washington, other two teams in the college football playoff. Coming up next on the Four Verticals podcast, as we wrap things up, this is how we're going to do it every single week. Let's pick them. Week one is officially here. I give my picks next here on the Four Verticals podcast. Hey. Okay. Hey. All right, wrapping things things up here on the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. We're going to do this every week throughout the season. For the last segment, we will pick them, make our weekly picks against the spread, and give who we think will win each and every game. We'll do all the Big 12 games every week and then pick five games nationally, and we'll keep a tally throughout the season and update y'all on a weekly basis. Obviously, no games have been played yet, none that I've picked at least, so I'm a even 0-0 as we go into this thing. Let's do a little bit of rapid fire, starting with the Big 12. Gets going tomorrow night. Missouri State at Oklahoma State. Cowboys getting 34.5 points. Give me Missouri State to cover. I have question marks about Oklahoma State. Not sure about the quarterback, Cornelius. I like Justice Hill, obviously. Missouri State put up a bunch of points on Missouri a year ago. I think 34.5 is a big cover, a big number for a team with some question marks. I think Oklahoma State wins, but I think Missouri State will cover that 34.5. On Sunday or Saturday is when most of the games in the Big 12, I think the rest of them, get played. Florida Atlantic at Oklahoma. Sooners getting 20.5 in this one. Give me Florida Atlantic to cover. I know it's in Norman. I know Oklahoma's got a talented team. So does Florida Atlantic. Got one of the better running backs in college football. Lane Kiffin isn't messing around with what he's doing in Boca Raton. Kyler Murray, if throws a pick early, has a mistake early on, that game could be a little bit uncomfortable. Kind of feels like that Houston game a couple of years ago where Houston got the best of Oklahoma. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I do think Florida Atlantic can hang around long enough to get within 20.5. OU wins, Florida Atlantic covers. Southern at TCU, no spread in this one. A lot of times when the FCS teams are involved, there isn't a spread or there isn't one until kickoff. Obviously, I think TCU will take care of business. I won't tally that in terms of my picks against the spread. Do think TCU gets the win, so that will count for me in the overall win-loss record in terms of who I think will win each game. Just I won't count it against the spread because there is no spread. Texas at Maryland. Last time I checked, the Horns getting 10.5 points. Give me Texas. A month ago, I would have taken the points in Maryland, considering it's up there in D.C. It says at Maryland, but it's really a neutral site game in D.C. Texas will travel well. I bet that's closer to 50-50 in terms of fans. If Texas struggles or doesn't take care of business in this one with everything going on around Maryland right now, that is bad news for Tom Herman. I think Texas goes in there probably tight early. I think they pull away in the second half. 17-point win, something like that. Give me the Horns over the Terps, both against the spread and straight up. Ole Miss versus Texas Tech. This is a big one for the Red Raiders, who are getting 2 points against the Ole Miss Rebels. This one's being played at NRG Stadium in Houston. 11 a.m. kick on Saturday. Give me the Red Raiders. I'm not sure about either of these two squads. I know that it's a big game for Cliff Kingsbury, though, if he wants to get this team back to a bowl game, get some momentum. I don't know if it's going to be McLean Carter, Jet Duffy at quarterback. He's got a couple of options up there. I like the defense. I think it's improved. I think Ole Miss still has plenty of question marks with Matt Luke getting that interim tag off. He's officially their head coach. I'll take the Red Raiders in a tight one. I think they win. I think they cover those 2 points. West Virginia versus Tennessee. This game's being played in Charlotte. 2:30 kick on CBS. West Virginia currently getting 10 points. Give me the Mountaineers and the points. I think they cover. Love the offense with Will Grier, David Sills, Gary Jennings. I think they'll figure out how to mix and match some running backs. I think they can keep that offense balanced. I think West Virginia wins big. Not huge, but big. You know, maybe something like, I'll say 38-17, something like that. Give me the Mountaineers over Tennessee to kickstart their 2018 campaign. Nicholls State at Kansas. No spread as of now, again, involving an FCS team. I think Kansas has got to win this game for David Beatty if he wants any hope of getting any momentum this year and surviving in Lawrence. Give me the Jayhawks to win that one. Again, I won't count that in my picks against the spread. Another game without a spread, South Dakota at K-State. K-State will take care of business. Both quarterbacks, Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson, get a lot of playing time. Wildcats will roll. Abilene Christian at Baylor, again, no spread. Give me the Bears. I don't think they make the same mistake twice. They lost to Lamar last year in the season opener. I think they take care of the Wildcats. Give me Baylor in that one. Big South Dakota State at Iowa State. Once again, no spread. Cyclones get their season started fast. South Dakota State typically has pretty good club up there. I don't think Matt Campbell's going to mess around. Give me the Cyclones in that one. Let's go nationally now. Five big games on the schedule this weekend, at least. These are the bigger ones that I'm going to pick. 2:30 kick on ABC on Saturday. Number 6 Washington against number 9 Auburn. I don't think a non-conference game has as much at stake as this one does. There's some big ones this weekend. TCU, Ohio State in a couple of weeks. I think this game will mean more than any of them because the Pac-12's fate as a conference might be on the line when Washington tees it up against Auburn. Tigers are getting 2 points in this one. Give me Washington to win and cover. I like Jake Browning, the quarterback. They're going to be good defensively. They can run the ball with Gaskin. Auburn's going to be solid. They've got some holes to fill defensively. Jarrett Stidham's back. I just think this is such a massive game for the Huskies, such a massive game for the Pac-12, and they know it. Auburn has a better chance of recovering than Washington does if they lose. Give me Washington to win this one and cover in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game in Atlanta. 6:30 that night on NBC. Number 14 Michigan goes to number 12 Notre Dame. Really pleased this rivalry is back on. I'm a believer in Michigan. I like Shea Patterson. Jim Harbaugh deserves a better reputation than he has. He's finally got his quarterback. I've been a Harbaugh defender, but now it's put up or shut up time. You've got your quarterback. Patterson was a 5-star recruit, did some good things at Ole Miss before going up there to Ann Arbor. Notre Dame's getting a point. I think Michigan goes on the road, shows people what they're all about this season, gets a big win in South Bend. I'm not crazy about Winbush, the quarterback in Notre Dame. I think Michigan wins that battle with Patterson. Give me Michigan in a tight game. They cover that 1-point spread, obviously. They win on the road on Saturday. 30 minutes later on ABC, Louisville versus number 1 Alabama. Tied or getting 24.5 points. Come on, Alabama. This game will not be close. Without Lamar Jackson, Louisville will struggle. They struggled last year with him at times. They've got question marks defensively. We'll see who they show out there at quarterback. I think Tua and Jalen Hurts play on Saturday. Roll Tide, roll. Give me the Tide, 45-10. I don't think this one's close. Sunday night, 6:30 kick on ABC. Number 8 Miami versus number 25 LSU, just down the street from me. This is an interesting one because out of all the teams in the top 10, Miami being in there at number 8, I'm not so sure about that. I know they started 10-0 last year and did some good things, lost a few games down the stretch. I think they got a little exposed toward the end of last season. Is the U back? Is Mark Richt the right coach for Miami? I think he is. I'm not sure they're quite back to being the Miami of the late 90s and the early 2000s. I actually think they will win this game. I think LSU covers that 3.5, though. Look for Miami to win one late, maybe by a point or two, something like 24-21, 27-25. This game's going to be tight. Give me LSU to cover, but Miami ultimately winning this one. And then the Monday night game, 7 o'clock on ESPN, number 20 Virginia Tech at number 19 Florida State. Seminoles getting 7 points in this one. Just named DeAndre Francois, their quarterback, who had a stellar freshman season a couple of years ago. Had that brutal injury last year against Bama in the opener. I think he's back and ready to rock. I give Virginia Tech the cover here. 7 points is a big one against two pretty evenly matched teams. Francois is big time, though. I think Florida State wins something like 31-28. I still have question marks about Willie Taggart, but I think they find a way. But I do think the Hokies will cover in this one. So those are my picks for this week. Again, we'll tally this thing throughout the season. For the big national games, again, I got Washington over Auburn, Michigan over Notre Dame, Bama over Louisville. Miami beats LSU, but LSU covers. Florida State beats Virginia Tech, but the Hokies cover. Those are my national picks. I already went through my Big 12 picks. Lots of games on the docket this week. I'm excited. We'll keep this thing tallied up throughout the 2018 season. That's going to wrap it up on the Four Verticals podcast. It's been a jam-packed episode as we get you ready for the 2018 season. I can't wait. Feel free to interact with me on Twitter throughout the season at Harrison1033. I'm always spitting college football stuff. I'll be on there Saturday as I am watching these games unfold. And remember, as we wrap this up, as we do every week, I'm sure we'll see teams doing this on Saturday. When in doubt, always go deep.